Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which verse is on the board? 46, okay. And which verse do we start at? 42? Is that right? Okay, so 46 is on there, and we start off with 42. So I'll just read 42, 43, 44, and 45. On my own, then we'll read 46 together. So this is 42. Prayase bhate tasmin datyendra prasankita chakaratad vatopayan nirbandhena yudhisthira. Translation, my dear King Yudhisthira, when all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. 43 and 44. Dighajar danda sukhendrar abhichara vapatanai mayabhi sanirodhaischa ankaradhana abhojanai himavayu Vagni Salai Parvatag Kramanarapi Nashaka Nashashaka Yadag Hantum Apapum Asarasutam Tintang Dhirgha Tamang Praptas Tatkartam Nabhya Padyata. Translation. Hiranyakasipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakasipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. Text 45. Eshame ba visharukto vadhopayas chanirmitai Taistar Johar Asad Dharmar Muktas Vaneva Tejasa. Hiranyakasipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad, and have devised many means to killing him, but despite all of my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers, without being affected in the least by these treacheries and abominable actions. Text 46. Vartamano vidhare vai balo api ajada dir payam na vismarati me narayanam suna sepa eva prabhu vartamano vidure vai bhalo bhyachada dhirayam Navish Marati Me Narayang Suna Sepa Iva Prabhu. Vatamano Vidurevai. Bhalo Vyajada Dhirayam. Navismarati Main Naranyam. Suna Sepa Iva Prabhu. Vartamano Vadevai Bhalo Yajada Dhirayam Navismarati Me Narayam Sunasepa Iva Prabhu. Vartamano Vadevai Bhalo Vyajata Dhirayam Navisvarati Vinayam Sunasepa Iva Prabhu. Messages. Vartamana, being situated. Avidhure, not very far away. Vai, indeed. Bala, a mere child. Api, although. Ajadadi, complete fearlessness. Ayam, this. Na, not. Vishmarati, forgets. Me, my. Anaryam, misbehavior. Sunasepa, the curved tail of a dog. Eva, exactly like. Prabhu, being able or potent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although He is very dear to me, although He is very near to me and is merely a child, He is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened, because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Please repeat. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened, because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Purport. The word suna means of a dog, and sapa means tail. The example is ordinary. However, one may try to straighten a dog's tail, it is never straight but always curved. Sunasepa is also the name of the second son of Ajgartha. He was sold to Harishchandra, but he later took shelter of Vishwamitra, Harishchandra's enemy, and never left his side. Om Jnanatamarandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshum Litam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukham Krotavachalam Pangun Langhaya Tegri Yat Kripata Raham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Vancha Kaupa Tivyascha Kripa Sindhu Jevacha Paditanam Pavanevya Vaisnavevyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In these verses, we're hearing how Prahlad Maharaj, he was put under many trying circumstances, dangerous, very dangerous circumstances. But there was never any problem for him. And he was completely fearless. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it stated the position of Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Naivod vijay paradrutchaya vaitranyas tvadvirya gaina mahamrita magna chitta so cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyartha maya sukhayam buddham udanto udhan. Prahlad Maharaj says, I have no fear of material existence. Because wherever I go, I'm fully absorbed in hearing your glories. But I am concerned about the unfortunate souls who are absorbed in this Maya Sukhaya, this illusory energy. I'm concerned out of them for love. So this is the position of Prahlad Maharaj. No fear. Why? Because he's completely absorbed in Krishna and absorbed in the mission of Krishna. What is Krishna's mission? His mission is to help people realize their position as spirit souls, as eternal servants of Krishna. It's like sometimes we can become familiar with one another. Sometimes also we can become too familiar with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's like we've heard this so many times, we're not this body. And we might think, I've heard this enough, you know, it's boring. But no, this is the absolute truth. We should never become too familiar with the philosophy. Ashchayavat. What is that verse? Ashchayavat. Ashchayavat. Pashati kushit enam. Ashchayavat varati tathayavachanya. That some, they see the soul as amazing. Some describe the soul as amazing. Some hear the soul as amazing. And some, even after hearing about the soul, can't understand him at all. So it's very rare to just hear about the soul, to speak about the soul. I mean, how many people are on the planet? You know, billions of people. And how many are interested in understanding about the soul? So we have to be careful about becoming too familiar with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It gets old. I've heard that so many times. Or we hear so many stories. Was it Lord Chaitanya? He heard this. The story of Dhruva Maharaj, how many times? Anybody remember? Like, I don't know, 100 times, I think. I think it was 100 times. And he's God. Lord Chaitanya, he knows everything. He wanted to hear it over and over and over and over again. So this is the way we should be hearing. It's actually ever fresh. This knowledge is ever fresh. We just have to stay in contact with this, with Krishna, in trying to become purified. And this way we'll always keep that freshness. So this fear that Prahlad Maharaj is free of is because of his Krishna consciousness. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Kavi, one of the Navayogendras. Boyam dutiya binivesitasya isadapitasya viparyoshmati. When one becomes attracted to the material nature, he becomes bewildered and fearful of the material nature. And because of his becoming separated from Krishna, he creates another conception of life. In other words, instead of thinking that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes the competitor of Krishna. Instead of the servant, he becomes the competitor. And this is pretty much what people are doing now throughout the world also. Because of forgetting Krishna, being absorbed in material life, they become the competitor of Krishna. But what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to cooperate with Krishna. Cooperators instead of competitors. In Krishna Lila, there's one person who is the epitome of competing with Krishna. Anybody remember? Poundraka. He became so arrogant. He wrote a letter to Krishna saying, "You're an imposter. I'm the real Vasudeva. Why are you acting like this? Like you're Vasudeva. You should give up your symbols, conch shell and lotus flower and club and disc, and surrender to me. And if you don't, then I'm going to finish you. So you take your choice." So proud. So of course, Krishna and all the members in the assembly, they got a good kick out of this, laughing and laughing upon hearing this. And then Krishna gave a message to his messenger saying, "You know, I'm going to give up one of my symbols, and that's going to be the disc, and that's going to cut your head off." So Krishna challenged him. So then they had the fight, and when Krishna saw him, he was amazed, because he had, I guess they were kind of like pasted on, you know. He had the club there and the disc and, you know, different things. It was pretty hilarious. So Krishna had another good laugh. Four arms, he had extra arms. You know. So Krishna got another good laugh. Yeah. And then he gave him his disc. Yeah. Cut his head off. But practically everybody is also trying to imitate Krishna, trying to be the Purusha. Krishna is the Purusha. He is the enjoyer. And everyone else is the servant of Krishna. We're meant to give pleasure to Krishna, not try to be the enjoyer of Krishna. So this is the real situation. There's no real happiness in this world anyway. We're trying to compete with Krishna, trying to enjoy this world, but there's no happiness in this world. In the Vedas, it's stated, Shruti Pratyaksam Aityam Anumanam Chatushtayam. There's four evidences by which we can understand the temporary uselessness of this material world. Shruti. The first one is Shruti, which means the Vedic literatures. We come to understand very easily, if one hears nicely, that there is no real satisfaction in this world. Krishna says in the Gita, Yehi sam sparsha ja bhoga dukho yonai evate. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with material senses. Such pleasures, they have a beginning and they have an end. So a wise man does not take delight in them. So this is the nature of this world. Whatever so-called pleasure one thinks one is getting, it's all temporary. But we're eternal. Yeah, this body is just a temporary body. It's going to die. Yeah. It's like here in the previous verse, Hiranyakasipu, he felt fear because he couldn't kill his child. He became fearful. Yeah. So fear comes because of the bodily conception of life, because of this misconception of who we are. And practically everybody fears death. It's something that we all have to experience. Anybody have any idea how many people die every day on the planet? Take a guess. No idea? Huh? 100,000. Do I hear another one? Huh? 3 million. Wow, you should know. Well, there's a lot. Actually, it's about 170,000 every day. But people think, oh, I'm not going to die. Anybody know the highest cause of death? Heart, yes. And the next one, cancer. And the next one, there's some statistic. The next one is the pharmaceutical industry. Because we all know there's all these side effects, right, of the drugs, the pharmaceutical drugs that people are taking. So a huge number die because of taking these pharmaceutical drugs. There's one joke when one devotee showed me a cartoon. There was three guys, world powerful people, world power leaders, and they were sitting at a big table, and one of them said, you know, we got too many people on the planet. I think we should drug some. Another one said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And we should call it medicine. And the other one said, oh, this is a great idea. I got an even better idea. Let's charge them for it. So they're spending so much money on this medicine, but there's so many side effects, and death is one of them. Yeah. So this material world, it's a dangerous place. There's one, I found one statistic that every year an average of 600 people die from rolling off their bed. So there's danger at every step. Sometimes also the roll, and danger at every roll. You got to be careful where you roll. It's the material world. One friend of mine in Miami, he was working at the airport. I was distributing books there, and he told me that his wife, she bumped her knee on the bedpost of their bed, and she got cancer on that spot, and died 6 months later. The material world, we're so vulnerable. Anything can happen at any time. Yeah, so it's not a very comfortable situation to be in. Samsara kupe patitang vishmer mishutekshanam. That the intelligence of the living entity is stolen away by the activities of sense gratification. And in this condition, one falls into the well of repeated birth and death. And within this well, one is seized by the deadly serpent of time. And who but the Supreme Lord can save him from such a dangerous situation? So this is the situation. People are pulled away by this illusory energy, Maya, thinking that we'll get some satisfaction. But we should know there is no satisfaction. There used to be that song, "Can't Get No Satisfaction." Right? Big famous song. Right? So this is true. You can't get any satisfaction in this material world. But where we can get satisfaction is in devotional service, in serving Krishna. Just like Prahlad Maharaj. So much satisfaction in serving Krishna. So much pleasure in serving Krishna. He just wanted to give it to others. And he was doing that. He was preaching to his classmates, and they were becoming devotees. Yeah. Imagine being preached to by Prahlad Maharaj, very powerful devotee, one of the Mahajans. So we should also imbibe this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and try to give it to others as much as possible. And this will also help us become fearless. It's like now, just around the corner, not too far away, is our Prabhupada Marathon. So this is a time to increase our desire to distribute Prabhupada's books and help people understand more about Krishna. Yeah. Now there's so much information being distributed around the world, mainly through the internet. It's the main circulation of information throughout the world. Anybody know what the main attraction is on the internet? Pornography. It's the main attraction in the material world. Completely bewildered by the bodily conception of life. Just animals. Dvipada pashu. It's two-legged animals. Yeah. So we're trying to give them some real information by which they could understand who they really are. How they could experience real pleasure through devotional service to Krishna. Anybody know the second attraction on the internet? No. Anybody know? Games. Games. There's millions of games out there. People are playing, just wasting their time. These stupid games. And what are the games all about? Violence. It's all violence. So in one sense you're right. It's all violence. So people are just wasting the human form of life and violence and sex and intoxication, just doing stupid things, wasting their life. So we're trying to give them an opportunity by which they can finish this material existence and go back to Godhead, go back to the spiritual world where pleasure doesn't stop at one point. That's the nature of so-called pleasure in this world. It comes to a point and then it decreases and becomes a source of misery, of pain. But nobody wants this. Nobody wants the pleasure that they're experiencing to decrease and become a source of misery. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants happiness to increase and increase and increase. But you don't find that in this world. Only in the spiritual world. So we want to give them direction on how to get back to the spiritual world. And by this book distribution, we are giving them this opportunity. This is not an accident. This Srila Prabhupada said that this ISKCON Society is another one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. He's come to give this message throughout the world. Lord Chaitanya has predicted that his name will be spread to every town and village throughout the world. So this is the desire of Lord Chaitanya. This is the desire of Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas. I had an interesting experience a couple days ago at Riverside College, University of California, Riverside. I had the book table there. And as I was sitting there, this biker came by on a bicycle, riding kind of swiftly. And he ran into one girl, kind of shocked her. And she wasn't hurt, real. She got up and walked away. So I told him, it wasn't an accident that you crashed in front of this lady. Because if you hadn't crashed into her, you would have zipped right by and you wouldn't have been able to hear about one of these books that I'm distributing to all the students. He said, oh yeah, what do you got there? So he came over, I showed him the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, I'm a very strong believer in karma and destiny. So I think you're right, it wasn't an accident that I crashed in front of your table. He bought a Bhagavad Gita and gave a nice donation. So many nice things happen on book distribution. Actually, just an hour later, one professor there at the university, he was a professor from Turkey, Muslim background, and he saw my display there of yoga and karma, and he came over and he said, I've been doing a little bit of yoga lately, and I've heard of the Bhagavad Gita, and you can tell me something about this. So I showed it to him. He gave a nice donation, took a Bhagavad Gita. And just before he left, he bent over to me and he whispered, "It's nice to see that you're out here and not the Christians." You know? He said, "The pesky Christians." So, the people are looking for this knowledge. Yeah. There's one devotee in Denver, one of our great stalwart book distributors, Mother Nidra. She's been distributing books since 1976. And she's taken a vow to distribute books every day for the rest of her life. She's an amazing devotee. She gets up at 2 o'clock every morning, wakes the deities. She's on the altar for 6 hours. Then she goes out on book distribution. Comes back for lunch, goes out on book distribution again. She's an amazing personality. Prabhupada said that we're looking for some good souls to dedicate their life to distributing this knowledge. She's probably she is one of the great examples that we have in this society for devotees trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Of course, we have many devotees here also. Bhrigupati Prabhu dedicated his life to distributing books. Sachi Tanoi Prabhu, so long been distributing. Prem Sankirtan Prabhu. So this is a great movement, and we should try to give it to others, as all the acharyas have done. Today is the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur, who is one of the great acharyas in our line of disciplic succession. He was born into a very wealthy family. He was a prince. But he lost his attraction. He had no attraction for material wealth. He just wanted to be a devotee. So he went to Vrindavan and he heard of one great devotee, Lokanath Goswami. And he wanted to take initiation from him. But he didn't have any disciples, nor did he want to have any disciples. But Narottam Das Thakur, he was completely fixed on being a disciple of Lokanath Swami. So for 1 year, he was cleaning up where Lokanath Swami would go, and he would have a call of nature. He would clean it up very nicely after. Imagine this. He's a prince. And he was cleaning up the stool of where Lokanath Swami had gone to pass. So humble, inconceivably humble. So after some time, Lokanath Swami decided to see, who's doing this? Someone's cleaning up around here. So then he saw it was Narottam Das Thakur. So then he said, "Okay, you'll be my only disciple." Because he was so humble, so determined. So Narottam Das Thakur, he wrote many songs. Beautiful songs. One of them is Prabhupada's favorite. Hari Hari Vipale Janama Kainu. For so long, I've been wasting my life. You've given me this human form of life, but I've wasted it. Willingly drinking poison. This is many times Prabhupada said this is his favorite song. So Narottam Das Thakur, he was a great acharya, but he wasn't actually born into a Brahmana family. But he was such a great acharya that he was initiating people who were in Brahmin families. And many of the caste Brahmins, they didn't like this at all. And they were thinking, what is this? You know, our Brahminical status is degrading now. This person is this non-Brahmin. What was he? He was Artita? He was a Sutra or Kayastha? What was he? Huh? Kayastha? Yeah. So they came up with an idea to go there and debate with him and prove him or wrong and defeat him. And then he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing anymore. So word got out and his disciples mentioned this to him. So many of his disciples were great scholars, as Narottam Das Thakur was. So they decided that they would post themselves in different places in the village there. One would be selling pan, and one would be selling bananas, and another one would be, you know, just doing different things like that. And then when these scholars came through the village, they'd get their, you know, get some, you know, fruit or something, and then these devotees would start, they would start speaking to them in fluent Sanskrit, you know, just perfect Sanskrit. And they were, and then they started talking to them about philosophy. So they defeated them. These fruit merchants and, you know, selling pan, and all, they defeated them in philosophy, and they highly impressed these Brahmins. So they thought, they said, who are you people anyway? Oh, we're disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, okay. So they had a little meeting and said, hey, you know, I think we should not have this debate with Narottam Das Thakur. And they all just left, you know, because they were defeated by his disciples. So he was an extraordinary personality. He is described that the first Gaurpurnim festival took place under his management. You know, I don't think he ever got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. But he was very, very, very attached to Lord Chaitanya, to Lord Nityananda. And so he arranged that devotees from all over India would go to Khechari, I believe, the Khechari festival, yeah. So they came from all over the country for this first Gaurpurnim festival. And he was, not only did he write many songs, but he was one of the best kirtan leaders. So all these devotees were there for this Gaurpurnim festival. And he was leading the kirtan. And it was such an ecstatic kirtan that all the devotees were just swooning in ecstasy with this kirtan. And then, amazingly, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and all their associates appeared in that kirtan. You can imagine how high the ecstasy lifted from that experience. So for many hours, everybody was just in kirtan, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the power of Narottam Das Thakur, that he could bring Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, and Lord Nityananda, and all the associates back and perform kirtan. So he was a very, very humble Vaishnava. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment? The microphone is coming. Turn it on. Uh-oh, the battery's dead. All right, just go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for a nice class. You mentioned four evidences by which we can see the uselessness of the spirit. He gives one, for example, truth.
Yeah, he's listening. Very good. So for those of you on the internet, this question was asked that I mentioned that there's four evidences by which we can understand the ephemeral, transitory nature of the pleasures of this world. And I mentioned one, Shruti. Shruti means the Vedas, which is the best way to understand the nature of this world, the temporary nature of this world. Shruti Pratyaksham. Pratyaksham means direct experience. We all get the experience that the pleasures of this world are temporary. You know? The whole material world is temporary. This body is temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. Aityam means, another one is Aityam, means traditional wisdom. We also get wisdom coming down through the disciplic succession, through our tradition. And then logical induction, anumanam. It's just logical, you know, we're eternal, we're the soul within. This body is temporary. You know, it's just like if you try to put water and oil together, it's incompatible. So it's just logical that spirit and matter, it's incompatible. We're not going to get pleasure from trying to get pleasure out of this temporary body or temporary things in this world. So those are the four evidences. Question is, does traditional wisdom necessarily have to come through our parampara? No, not necessarily. We also, you can get wisdom from other religious beliefs and just material nature. You know, just we can get even from our American culture, we can get some traditional wisdom. You know, it's not blocked in that way. Okay, we have two senior devotees raising their hands. All right, Archa, your hand is still up. Go ahead. Well, you know, I was doing that for many years. I have about 800. Actually, I still have them. I was sending out letters, but I'm not much of a writer, and I wasn't getting much response. And I'm the minister of book distribution. I'm just doing so much, so it's kind of in the back burner now, unfortunately. Yeah, we can do that. Okay, now you've spoken this in front of the deities. I'll have to pick that up again. Desire of the deities. It's very important. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Yes, Brigapati Prabhu. Yeah. Oh no, Shruti. The question is these four evidences, are they of equal value? No, Shruti is the best evidence because that's coming from Krishna. Yeah. Any other question? Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Mm-hmm.